Morning everyone, my name is Lucas if we haven't met before, and a special warm welcome to you if you are here today at Wynnum for the first time. I've been coming to Wynnum since I think July or August last year, and you guys made me feel really welcome and part of your church family. So if you are here, I extend a big warm welcome to you this morning. We're going to continue our sermon series today in the book of Philippians. Sorry, I'm just going to adjust this. How's that? Is it better? Gavin, kind of better. Yeah, it'll do. Is it everyone? All good? Yep, all right, cool. So we're continuing our sermon series in the book of Philippians this morning. We'll be reading to verse 30. So originally it was chapter 2, verse 12 to 18. And then Daniel Walker messaged me a few weeks before I preached and said we're going to verse 30. So you can thank him for that one there. How about we pray and we'll get into our series this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, thank you so much for the joy it is to call you our Father because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Father, as those who have been saved by your grace, help us to live in a way that is consistent with our identity in Christ. Help us, Holy Spirit, to live in a way that imitates our Savior, Jesus, to live in obedience to you, and to live with humility towards others. Lord, help us to do all of these things because of the salvation that is already ours in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Just checking the slides. We're good? Good to go? Oh, Matt will do it. Cool. All right. In January of 2021, the Today Show released a story on the website titled Mum of Eight Completely Transforms Health, Runs New York City Marathon. So this website released the story of a 41-year-old woman named Liz, who said that she's been struggling with obesity and morbid obesity since the age of 18, which she said has hindered her from doing things that she's always wanted to do. And for Liz, what she really wanted to do was to run a marathon in order to raise money for World Vision. Liz found out that kids who don't have access to clean drinking water only have around a 50% chance to survive until their fifth birthday. But unfortunately for Liz, she couldn't lose the weight and therefore she could not run her marathon. I read on the website that Liz apparently spent ages trying to find workout plans and create her own diet plans, and it just wasn't working. She should have come to me for this. Half kidding. And so a few months later, Liz looked for a personal trainer, and she found one, a guy named Todd. And she basically told Todd that she's got this goal of running a marathon to raise money for World Vision. And so Todd jumped on board. He started to take Liz running pretty often, and he also checked up on her pretty often. Now, what I love about this story so far is the absolute determination which Liz had towards her goal despite her health challenges. But see, the other part I love about this story is the determination which Todd had to see Liz cross the finish line. 11 months after Liz started training with Todd, she finally crossed the finish line and ran her full marathon. What a legend, right? What a legend. See, a story like this tells us two things. The first is that in order to run a marathon well, you need to know how to prepare well. In order to run a marathon well, you need to know how to prepare well. But we also learn something else. Because in order to run a marathon well, you need people to help you and encourage you and support you along the way. In order to run a marathon well, you need people to encourage you and support you along the way. And it's through a story like this where we come to our passage today in the book of Philippians. The point is this. If you are a follower of Christ, you have a race to run, and that race is life. But see, you also have a goal, and that goal is to become like your Savior, Jesus. See, if you are a Christian, you have been saved from your sin. God has completely justified you through his Son, Jesus. But see, that's not all, because another part of your salvation is your sanctification. And that's a process where the Holy Spirit transforms you each day to become more like Jesus. And friends, if we want to continue becoming more like Jesus, we need to know how to. And we learn how to by spending time in God's Word. We learn how to become more like Jesus by spending time with Him in His Word. But see, we also need brothers and sisters in Christ who are committed to seeing us in our journey, who are committed to seeing us become more like Jesus. I see, the way Paul describes this journey of becoming more like Jesus is working out your salvation, or working out our salvation. And so we'll start off this morning by looking at what this command actually means. Then we'll look at how we do it, why we do it, and how we can help others do it. If you've got your Bibles or your phones with you, please keep them open to Philippians 2, and we'll be going from verse 12 to verse 30. Firstly, what does this command mean? Have a read with me from verse 12. It says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation." Straight off the bat, Paul hits us with the word therefore. Now, whenever we see a therefore in the Bible, we should always ask the question, what is the therefore therefore? And to figure that out, we actually go back to the start of chapter 2, where Paul reminds us of a picture of Jesus' obedience and his humility. Obedience to God and humility towards others. Philippians 2, 6-8 tells us that though Jesus was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. But what is Paul saying? What does he mean by work out your own salvation? Well, we've got to start off by looking at what Paul is not saying. Paul is not saying that salvation comes through works. He's not saying that we need to do good works in order to be saved or to fulfill something that's missing in our salvation. Instead, what Paul is saying is that you have been saved by Jesus. So continue to live for him. You have been saved by Jesus. So continue to live like him. Friends, God didn't just save us from sin, but he saved us that we would become more like Jesus. Have a look at Romans chapter 8, verse 29 on the screen. It says, "For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." See, the whole of the New Testament is actually filled with this command to live in a way that is consistent with who we are in Christ. In 1 Peter, God tells us to be holy, for I am holy. In John, Jesus prays to God for us and asks him to sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And in Colossians 3, Paul tells us to put off the old self and to put on the new. And so working out our salvation means that we should continue to become more like Jesus because that is what God has saved us for. And so knowing that we are to work out our salvation, what's the attitude that we should have to this command? Well, if you have a look at verse 12, Paul tells you to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, when you see the word fear in the Bible, it usually means to show reverence to God or to be in awe of God. In Psalm 2, we're told to serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. And so working out your salvation with fear and trembling means we need to treat this command with the utmost respect because of who we are doing it for. So with that in mind, let's have a look at our first point, why we do it. Friends, why do we work out our salvation? Why do we need to become like Jesus if we are already saved alone by his grace? Well, verse 13 tells us to, because it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Friends, if you are believing in Jesus Christ, you have unshakable, great confidence that the Holy Spirit will transform you to become more like Jesus each and every day, and one day, perfect like Jesus. But see, there are also wrong reasons for working out our salvation, aren't they? To make ourselves look good, to reassure ourselves that we really are saved, or even because we feel obligated to. And friends, that is an attempt of trying to earn God's favor or please others. See, we strive to live in obedience to God because of what Jesus Christ has done, because we are already favored in Christ, and because Jesus' righteousness is now our righteousness by faith. Tim Keller has this short quote that describes this point. Religion says, I obey, therefore I am accepted. Christianity says, I'm accepted, therefore I obey. Amen. Friends, we strive to live more like Jesus because Jesus Christ has already accomplished everything we will ever need for salvation in him, and that is ours by faith. So friends, why do we work out our salvation with fear and trembling? Well, it's because it's God who gives us the desire to become more like Jesus and promises to help us carry it out. And so if we know that God has commanded us to work out our salvation and promises to help us do it, how do we actually do it? What does it actually look like to work out our salvation? And here's our second point, how we do it. Read with me from verse 14. Do everything without complaining or grumbling, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Now, I'll be completely honest with you guys. When I was reading this passage and came to this verse, I was a little bit confused, especially after this grand command to work out your salvation. I'm like, I'm ready to go. God, I'm ready. You're going to help me. Let's go. And I read the first command. It's do everything without complaining or grumbling. Like, yes, God, I want to become more like you. I'm ready to go. But the first thing you want me to do is not to complain or to grumble. But friends, what is grumbling? Or in other words, what type of person grumbles? Well, it's a self-centered person, isn't it? See, grumbling is the deadly sin of putting yourself at the center of everything and expecting everyone to meet your needs and to make you feel good about yourself. Friends, that is the exact opposite of Christ. See, Christ lowered himself. Christ humbled himself, and not just when it was convenient, but even when it cost him his life. But Paul also tells us that serving others is what a Christian should be known for. If you have a look down at verse 15, Paul tells you to do all things without complaining or grumbling, so that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Friends, as Christians, we already shine as lights in the world. And if we want the world to see Christ in us, then we cannot be a people who constantly complain or grumble. Don't grumble. See, that's the first way Paul tells us to work at our salvation. And the second is found in verse 16, where Paul tells us to hold fast to the word of life, which is the Bible. Can I be the first to admit, got everyone's heads raising there, that I have seen how God has transformed me through his word, and yet time after time I find myself making excuses for not reading God's word. And so I put up a post on Facebook a few weeks ago asking my friends, what is one reason you don't read your Bible enough? It wasn't to make myself feel better, I promise. For most people who commented, the answer was something like, I'm just too busy, or I've allowed uni to take too much time, I just don't like reading. But then a friend of mine up on the screen, named Deb, she commented on my post, and she told me that she often forgets that relationship with God or with Jesus is a two-way conversation. She told me that she could talk to someone all day and not learn anything. But it's only when she stops being the focus of the conversation and starts to listen to the other person that ultimately does relationships start to begin. Friends, if we want to become more like Jesus each and every day, then we have to be spending time with him in his word. Because the Bible is where we learn how to work out our salvation. See, the more time I spend with someone, the more I'm going to pick up on how they live. And friends, that's the same with Jesus. if we are going to be a people who take this command to work out our salvation seriously, then we need to be a people who take God's word seriously. If we're going to be people who work out our salvation seriously, then we need to be taking our Bible reading seriously. David writes in Psalm 111, he said, "I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Again, I'll be the first one to admit that I'm so much more likely to sin on days where I'm not in the word of God, on days where my life is filled with how the world wants me to live rather than how my Savior wants me to live. And so, friends, we need to be asking the question, what's going to happen to our Christian walk and our sanctification if we spent intentional time meditating on the Word of God? And what's going to happen to our Christian walk and sanctification if we're not spending time in the Word of God? Because the Christian life can never be in neutral. We're either becoming more like Jesus or we're becoming more like the world. Friends, there's too much at stake here to not be spending time in God's word. And I'm talking to myself more than anyone here. And this brings me to my final point, which is how we can help others do it. How can we help other people work out their salvation? I read with me from verse 19. Paul says that, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be what? Genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ." Now see, part of working out our salvation means that we need to be looking to the interests of others. Paul gives us a great example in his friend Timothy. Verse 19 tells us that Timothy was genuinely concerned for the welfare of the Philippians, people who sought their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. And as we know, Jesus didn't look to his own interests, but he looked to the interests of others. So friends, do we look to the interests of others? Not just to the physical interests of others, which is very important, but do we look to the spiritual interests of our brothers and sisters? Do we know how our brothers and sisters are going in their walk with Christ? Do we know if they've been working out their salvation? Do we know if they're growing to become more like Christ or more like the world? Are our conversations centered around uni or work or hobbies or family or whatever it is, or are they centered around the spiritual state of our brothers and sisters in Christ? Are our friendships encouraging one another to become more like Christ, or are they centered around things that might make us value things of the world? Now, I'm not saying that we can't talk about things that we did on the weekend, but can I encourage you guys to prioritize the conversation of our sanctification above earthly things? And when you think about the three people that are closest to you, if I was to ask you, how are they going? Have they been working out their salvation with fear and trembling? How would you respond? If you're like me, the answer would be not well. You know, I can understand it can be awkward, it can be time-consuming, it can be uncomfortable, it can be awkward again. But I encourage you guys to know that these conversations of encouraging our brothers and sisters in their faith, the awkward times in these conversations, they're going to pale in comparison to seeing your friend or family member hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." They will pale in comparison to hearing your friend or family member hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," because of the encouragement which you gave them in their faith journey. Friends, if we want to look at a good example in our passage today of how we can help others work out their salvation, have a look at verse 25. Paul tells us that he thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker, and fellow soldier and your messenger and minister to my need. See, when you have a look at what Epaphroditus was to Paul, Paul tells us that he was a brother, a fellow worker and a fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. Guys, what does a brother do? Well, a good brother is someone who is affectionate and genuinely cares for the welfare of their siblings. how they are going, what is troubling them. What does a worker do? Well, a good worker is someone who's going to show up at their job, who is committed to the job, who shows up time after time after time, even when they don't feel like it, because they're committed to the job. And what does a soldier do? Well, a soldier is someone who's going to go to war with you, aren't they? Your battles are their battles. And a soldier is someone who is determined to see you win your war. Friends, are we willing to be a brother or a sister, a fellow worker or a fellow soldier to our friends? Do we care about our brothers and sisters' faith enough that we are willing to encourage them in their journey? Because, friends, we cannot do this journey alone. We can't work out our salvation alone. See, when Paul is writing this letter to the Philippians, he isn't specifically talking to one person. He's talking to a community of believers who are trying to work out their salvation together. A community of believers who long to hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," on the last day. A group of people who are wanting to work out their salvation and become like Jesus together. But what is this salvation that we are talking about? Because if this is your first time at church, or you don't know what Jesus did for you about this salvation thing, I need to tell you, because it's the greatest news that you'll ever hear. In today's passage, you might have heard me talk about something called our salvation. Now, salvation is a process where God is saving us from our sin. He's already saved us, and he's continuing to save us from our sin. And sin is loving other things above God. It's when we live in a different way than how God expects us to live in his word, which the Bible says is extremely serious. In fact, it's serious enough that Jesus Christ had to die for your sin. And that's how serious it is. See, because Jesus Christ died for your sin and for my sin, when you die and you meet your Creator, you won't have punishment. Instead, what God will give you is an eternity with him forever, with the Creator of your soul and the person who loves you more than you will ever know, despite every bad thing you have done. See, the Bible says in Romans that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us, and that is how much Jesus loves you. That he was willing to give up his life for you. But see, the best news isn't actually that you were saved from sin. The best news is that you get to spend eternity with Jesus, in a relationship with him, the person who created you and who loves you more than you will ever know. See, we strive to live for Jesus every day in response to what he did for us. We strive to obey Jesus, to become more like him, and to love others because our Lord and Savior Jesus loved us first and served us first. So will you accept his offer of salvation today? See, it doesn't matter who you are, what you've done in the past, or what you will do. Because the very thing that's actually stopping you from coming to Jesus, whether it be guilt or shame or worry or anxiousness or fear or judgment, is actually the very thing which qualifies you to come to him. So will you come to him today? But what about for those of us here who already call Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior? Friends, can I firstly just say that the only reason we can work out our salvation is because we have a salvation to work out in the first place. And may we never forget that our salvation is eternally secure only because of what Christ did for us on the cross. So I can ask you guys a question. How are you going with working out your salvation? Do you see the importance of becoming transformed into the likeness of Jesus each and every day? And secondly, how are you going in terms of not looking to your own interests, but to the interests of your brothers and sisters? Do you see how important it is not just to care for their physical needs, but also to look to their spiritual needs for their sanctification in their race with Christ? If you think back to the start of our sermon this morning, you'll remember our friend Liz, who wanted to run a marathon. You also remember that Liz tried to run her marathon by herself, and it just wasn't working. Maybe she could have run the race by herself, but at the end of the day, it was Todd who trained her, and Todd who encouraged her, and Todd who helped her make it happen. And friends, the same goes for our salvation. Yes, sure, it's possible for us to work out our salvation and run this race alone. But if we're not seeking accountability and support from our brothers and sisters in Christ, then we'll probably end up like Liz in her first attempt, someone who couldn't run her race alone. And so here are three things that we can do to work out our salvation. Let's have a look on the screen. It's really simple. Bible reading plus prayer plus community multiplied by time equals spiritual growth. Bible reading plus prayer plus community multiplied by time equals spiritual growth. Pretty simple, right? And guys, let's never undermine how God can use the everyday, sometimes mundane things to bring about massive spiritual growth. Bible reading plus prayer plus community multiplied by time equals spiritual growth. But I want to focus on two of these things today that I found in today's passage. The first is our Bible reading. Hold fast to the word of life. See, the more time we spend with someone, the more we're going to become like them. So plan to read your Bibles this week. Friends, if you're anything like me, and you don't plan to read your Bible, life will get in the way. You will get busy. And I'm talking to myself more than anyone right now. So put it down in your calendars, on your phones. Plan to read your Bible because life will get in the way. But if I'm going to take this command to work out my salvation seriously, then I've got to be taking my Bible reading seriously. Hold fast to the word of life. The second is the importance of community. Friends, can I challenge us as a church, and encourage us as a church to make our conversations, whether it be after church, or downstairs, or over lunch, or at home group, or whatever it is, can I encourage us to make our conversations others-centered? But most importantly, how our friends are going in their faith journey. How are they going with working out their salvation? Guys, I know it can be awkward. Yeah, it's weird sometimes. You know, you're talking about the footy, you're talking about the weekend, your family, or whatever it is, and the last thing you want to be talking about is how are you going with your sin issue? How are you going with fighting that sin? It's awkward, I'm telling you, it's hard. But the fruits of doing that far outweigh the awkwardness. Because, guys, we're so prone to wander in this world. And if we want to be a people who work out their salvation well, especially in this world where we're so prone to wander and so prone to walk away from God, then we need people to help us, encourage us, and pray for us in our journey with Christ. So it doesn't even have to be a few people. It can be one person. It can be two people. It can be a friend, a family member, whoever it is. Meet up. Talk about your sin. Yes, family, footy, whatever it is. That's important. Sure, it's great. But what's most important on the day of judgment when we stand before God one day? What's most important? Guys, if we found out that we're going to be seeing Jesus tonight and stand before him today, you know, are we going to be talking about footy? Or are we going to be talking about, I use footy because that's me. Are we going to be talking about whatever it is? Or are we going to be encouraging our brothers and sisters in their walk with Christ? Friends, we're a gathering of brothers and sisters who are called to become more like our Savior, Jesus. And we can't do this journey alone. So this week, as you work out your salvation, as you become more like Christ, may you find great joy in God's word. And may you encourage your brothers and sisters to press on in their faith. And may we do all of this in response to the salvation that is already ours in Christ, becoming more like Christ until we see him face to face. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, thank you that his victory over sin and death means that we can have victory over sin and death. Help us, Lord, to continue striving to become more like your Son and our Savior, Jesus, each and every day. Father, help us to be spending time with him in his word, and may you change us to become more like him because of that. Father, help us to encourage our brothers and sisters to work out their salvation too. Lord, give us humility to put their needs above ours, and help us to love them in a way that looks past the awkwardness of having conversations about our walk with Christ. Father, help us to encourage our brothers and sisters to keep persevering to become more like Jesus. Lord, may we strive to become more like Jesus because of the salvation that is already ours in him. Lord, may we treasure the joy it is to be transformed more like Jesus each and every day. Father, this week, may you help us to find time to spend in your word, treasuring it and letting it change us. And may you help us to love and encourage our brothers and sisters in their walk with Christ. For the glory of your Son, Jesus, and for our joy in him. Amen.